And the church that has good men, godly men, in the plural, to labor, to oversee and guide the congregation, that will work to the good of the church. It's also good for the minister. What man wants to be a pastor in a church endlessly, year after year, laboring without elders? This needs to be a shared burden. And as I say, this is the genius of Presbyterianism. The way that other governments share the burden is they just multiply pastors. Oh, we need to hire more men for this work. And the way to encourage our pastor is to just hire more. Well, what church can keep doing that? And then it becomes a whole personality issue. God's way is a teaching elder and ruling elders.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and we're again on the message on the office of elder in the local church. We believe that God has ordained the local church to be the place where the gospel is transmitted from Christian to Christian, from generation to generation. The Lord said, I will build my church. And that means, of course, he will call out his people. He will separate them from the world. He will make them a visible, identifiable group in the earth. And one day, of course, he will bring us home to glory. Or he will return and he will gather his people home. Now, the ministry of the gospel is God's will in every community. And it is the will of God that we be a part of a visible church that is ministering the gospel week by week. A place of worship, a place of Bible ministry, and a place of prayer that we may pour out our hearts to God for his power and blessing on the work of the gospel. And I would like to encourage you to be a part of a local church, to go where the Bible is preached, where the Word of God is emphasized, and where the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted. And today we'll be dealing with the office of elder in the local church, and I hope that you'll stay tuned right through to the end. We also have some hymns today. I trust they will be an encouragement to your heart. Now we're turning to Psalm 19, and we're coming to the main themes that are in this psalm. We have in verses 1 to 6 what the Christian thinks about God as revealed in his creation, where it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Then there is what the Christian thinks about God's law. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. And what the Christian thinks about sin is in this psalm. Verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. And of course, you'll notice here that he wants to be warned of his sin. Here is the prayer to understand our errors. He wants to be warned and notified if he be in sin. The Christian also knows their value as intrinsic reward. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And so the Bible is our map. It is our daily diet that we might know God's blessing. And we pray that the Scriptures will be preventative from sins, from secret sins, proud sins, and even public sins. And then the final part of this Psalm 19 is what the Christian thinks about his Redeemer. The very last verse of Psalm 19 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord my God, my strength and my Redeemer. Only through his Redeemer, through the blood and sacrifice made from sin, can we be saved. Only by divine strength, not human power, can we know help from heaven. And of course, the Christian prays for acceptable words and thoughts, He presumes nothing about personal fitness, but trusts in the power of his Redeemer. So I would encourage you to read through this Psalm 19. Make it the psalm for today. And therein, let me just go through these headings again. Verses 1 to 6, what the Christian thinks about God as revealed in his creation. Verses 7 to 11, what the Christian thinks about God's law. Then verse 12 to 13, what the Christian thinks about sin. And finally, what the Christian thinks about his Redeemer. All found in the Psalm 19. Let's unite in prayer and ask the Lord to bless us through his word today. Father, we thank thee for this short meditation here in Psalm 19. And, oh Lord, we want to bless our Redeemer. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus, the one who came from glory, who lived in this world and went to the cross to shed his precious blood on our behalf. We thank thee for the infinite mercy that is through the cross of Calvary. And I pray thee to draw near, to bless, to help. Receive our worship and our praises today, and may the grace of God fill our hearts as we worship thee. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Bless your people today. Stir every heart to go on with God and serve thee day by day. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're coming out to our pulpit ministry from 1 Peter chapter 5 on the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. The Christian faith is transmitted by example. Christians are living, walking New Testaments, known and read of all men. Young Christians learn from the more experienced and aged saint. And what a precious thing it is to have all that experience of the knowledge of the Bible, the way of godliness, and having proven God, that we may stand together to be an example to the younger. God's way is to have the elder to shepherd and to be that example to the flock. And so I trust the Lord will bless you through this message. 1 Peter 5, verse 1, the elders.
And a great deal of the responsibility is to ensure the feeding of the flock. And the elder will be responsible for appointing Sunday school teachers that the children are taught. Or if there's a teenage class, that there is the right leader and the right teacher to guide and minister to those young people. And this is all under the scope of the elder to feed the flock. Then we move to the ruling part of eldership. And it says here in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Taking. How do you do that? How do you take this oversight? It now becomes your God-given, people-appointed office. You're to take charge. You are to assume the role. You are to endeavor to watch, to oversee the souls of men and women in that church. And whatever decisions are taken, that it will be for the good of the spiritual welfare of God's people. When guidelines are given out, whether they're temporary or part of the whole structure of the church, the elders' whole desire will be that these will work to truly guide and care for the people. And of course, as a confessing church, what I mean by a confessing church is that we put in writing our doctrine. We have a confessional statement. We lay it all out, what we believe, as much as possible, the doctrines that form the very foundation and ministry of our church. And we lay it out. And as a confessing church, we lay out the doctrine, but we also lay out the standards. We make it clear what we expect from individuals who will become members of the church, the testimony they should have, the prayer lives they should maintain. And if they fail and go wayward in some of these things, well, the elder is to be caring. And of course, it's that gentleness that's required to give the exhortation. And when you phone up the member of the church and say, "We haven't seen you for a few weeks. Is everything okay? What can we do to help?" That will work much better than saying, "You better be in church next Sunday or we'll be at your door." That, I assure you, would be counterproductive. Now, the other thing in the work of the ruling elder is verse 3. It goes on to say that they are to be not being lords over God's heritage, not that lordly stature-like manner, but being ensamples. Now, defining the work of an elder is impossible because it involves everything that a Christian should be. Everything that a Christian should be, the elder must be. He must be in attendance punctually, regularly, in a worshipful manner. And if a young Christian is to learn by example and watches the life of that man and his wife and his family, that young Christian will learn by that living, consistent, godly example, the very demeanor, the very attitude to the Bible, the very attitude to worship, reverence in God's house, and the ability to just say an appropriate word at the right time. Now, sheep are followers. That's how they are shepherded. And especially in Bible times, sheep followed their own shepherds. And if the shepherd's not living right, if the shepherd's not walking right, there's not much hope for the sheep. There are some sheep that will follow an evil, deceiving shepherd to their death. And I'm sure you're familiar with that term of getting fleeced. Well, Christians get fleeced. They get caught up in wrong ministries and wrong leadership, and they follow along to their ruin. I just learned, in fact, I was reminded yesterday as I did some background on this, and I was reminded of the Judas sheep and meat factories where the slaughter plants, where sheep are herded in to be killed for meat, that to get these sheep to go the right direction, right down the slaughter chute, they have a Judas sheep. And this is one that's kept on site all the time, and he's used to just lead the sheep down the chute right to the place where they're slaughtered. And of course, the Judas sheep is taken off back to his favorite pen. But all the others are led to their slaughter. Now that happens in false religion because in religion, people are followers. And there is the herd mentality. Well, the whole crowd is doing it. It can't be wrong. An elder is to live by godly example, to lead by living aright. Another thing about sheep is that they are worriers, and they are very easily scared off in times of trouble, and they fret. And rather than really dealing with things in a rational, reasonable way, they just fret and worry. And there's many Christians like that. And there are crises that come into churches. There are crises that come into families. Crises in an individual life. And it's in that hour that Christians panic. And they very often do the wrong thing. And it's then that you need a shepherd, an elder, a pastor, one that will be discerning and help you to walk through confusion. That is very much the role of an elder. And so they're to be men not led by fear, but full of faith, full of faith. And I see that as the standard given over and over again in the New Testament, men full of faith and the Holy Ghost. That's the outline of the elders' work. Now we look at their service inspired. And because of the clock tonight, I'm really going to reduce this as much as I can. You'll notice in verse 2 that it says they are to be taking the oversight not by constraint. In other words, nobody has to put a gun to their head or twist their arm or bribe them with money. Talk down later there about not for filthy lucre. There is to be a ready mind, a willingness. And we talked before about an aptitude. And if God is raising up men to be good elders in a congregation, He will give them the heart to do it, willingly, knowing that it will be demanding in some ways, yet their hearts will be so on fire, in love with the gospel, caring for souls, they will say, well, if it's God's will, and if it's the people's desire, I make myself available. That's the willingness of the elder. Now, not for filthy lucre. He doesn't do this for money. He sees it as a good work. And in 1 Timothy 3, it says about he that chooses or desires the office of a bishop or an elder desires a good work. Now, it's a good work in many ways. It's good for the church. And the church that has good men, godly men, in the plural, to labor, to oversee and guide the congregation, that will work to the good of the church. It's also good for the minister. What man wants to be a pastor in a church endlessly, year after year, laboring without elders? This needs to be a shared burden. And as I say, this is the genius of Presbyterianism. The way that other governments share the burden is they just multiply pastors. Oh, we need to hire more men for this work. And the way to encourage our pastor is to just hire more. Well, what church can keep doing that? And then it becomes a whole personality issue. God's way is a teaching elder and ruling elders. Men who are godly, full of faith and grace, to just help bear up the arms of the pastor. It's a bit like Moses on the mountaintop when he was praying in the day of battle, and Aaron and Hur came alongside and held up his arms. How wonderful it is to have men that will pray with you, that will be a witness for you, be a guard for you, and you know that they're on side. You know that you have their support, and when you flop and feel, they're not there to trample you down, but they're there to pick you up and to keep you going. That is the good labor of an elder. It's also good for the advancement of the gospel in a community. When you have a church in any community, with men who have a good testimony in the community and they're known as elders in a church. They can be a blessing in the community. And I also would say it's good for his own soul. A man who is a man of the word, a man of prayer, a man who loves people and is called to this office of elder, it's good for him. The discipline of it, the challenge of it, the prayer burden of it, it will make him grow. It will make him a better man. And we pray over the years grow into the task to prove God's grace in his life and the hand of God upon him. The last point then that we mentioned was that the elders' rewards are all deferred. It says in verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory. So sorry, men, no crowns here on earth, and no gold or great medals or earthly rewards, but your crown awaits you in heaven. Now, the argument of Peter, of course, as he speaks to these people who were familiar with the Olympic Games, that the crowns that the Olympian athlete received were made of grass, flowers, that soon faded. And a year later, that crown could never be worn again. It's gone. And can you remember who won the Olympics medals last time? Can you remember the top athletes of a year ago? No, our memory's gone. But if you serve the Lord, what you do for Christ is not lost. It's gain. There is an eternal reward. A crown, Peter says, of glory that fadeth not away. And that's the encouragement of serving the Lord. And so, Beulah, I haven't made you rich. I will never promise you riches, but I'll share my crown with you in glory. And I trust that this will be the joy of many who serve the Lord, that we can rejoice in glory. What we did for Christ on those short few years on earth, we will be eternally rewarded. And so I come back to Peter's words, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. What humble words. And that again is a key to the whole matter. Now tonight, you know that we don't have elders in our church. We have had elders in the past that are no longer with us, but we are praying, and I would call every believer in our church to pray that God will give us men who sense the burden and desire to be elders in this local congregation. Now that does not mean that we are not without elders, that we are without elders. That means that we are under the eldership of another church who does have elders. And that's the way we function. And I am thankful for the deacons that God has given here and the many helpers we have in our church. But along the way, somewhere, we must earnestly endeavor, by God's grace, to have elders in our own congregation. Men that will be sitting down here in these pews who will be living the gospel life of promoting the kingdom of God and to promote the Lord's work, caring for God's people. So I ask you to pray about that. And perhaps this coming Wednesday, why not? This coming Wednesday in our prayer meeting, let us make that a matter of prayer, that the Lord will give us men who will serve in this capacity.
Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy, whose trust ever childlike no cares could destroy, be there at our waking and give us, we pray, your bliss in our hearts, Lord, at the break of the day.
Right, we have just 2 minutes for a short quiz. What is the meaning of elder? Well, it comes from the Greek word presbyteros, meaning the aged or the experienced person. And of course, in the Christian church, the elder is always plural, where you have more than just one who has given that role as overseer or as the elder of the church. Secondly, what is the elder's work? He's an overseer. He's a bishop. He is to guard and shepherd the flock, feeding the flock. That is the description of his work. Then thirdly, what kind of man is God looking for to do the work of an elder? Well, he's to do so willingly. He has to have a ready heart, willing to do this, of a ready mind. And he's not doing it to become rich. He's not doing it for filthy lucre, but rather he's willing to spend and be spent that he might be a good servant of the Lord. The other thing he needs to be is gentle, neither as being lords over God's heritage. And so there is the preparation of the man, the salvation of the man, the commitment of the man, and the gentle leadership that is required. And so I trust that these messages on the elder have been of help and encouragement to each one. And if I can be of any personal help, feel free, of course, to give me a call. And of course, we look forward to having you in our church if you're living in the area or listening into our webcast. These details are coming up now in the closing announcement. So stay with us for the next 2 minutes for the announcements. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course, to reach men with the message of the gospel. Through this month of July and our Sunday evening church services, we are looking at our Canadian heritage. And I'm preaching on a number of men, Christian leaders in Canada. We've had Dr. Charles Chinnicky. We've looked at Jonathan Goforth, Dr. T.T. Shields. And today we're going to look at Mr. Harold Paisley, evangelist with the Plymouth Brethren. Each year, Mr. Paisley would have his gospel tent erected in various cities across Canada. A preacher of the gospel and an evangelist par excellent. I have been told stories of people attending his gospel tent campaigns, and he would preach Christ to their souls with the tears flowing down his cheeks, the love of Christ burning in his own heart as he invited men to believe upon the Savior. That's this Sunday evening. We'll be ministering on the life of Mr. Harold Paisley, and I trust that you will come along and join with us for our evening service at 6 p.m. We'll be delighted to have you along. Or go to our website to join us by webcast. That's www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And of course, join us tomorrow as we let the Bible speak.